Welcome to It's a Good Life podcast. Before we jump in, I wanted to let you know that tomorrow, March 6th at 10 a.m. Pacific, Brian will be presenting live on Facebook. So mark your calendar, March 6th at 10 a.m. and bring your questions. He'll be doing a live Q&A too. For now, let's hear from Brian.
Well, top of the morning to you and aloha from the Big Island. I love broadcasting from here. I certainly have a chance to get my thoughts together, breathe in some fresh air and swim in some ocean water. And it tends to do great things for the mind. And hopefully, with a clear mind, I can provide you with some clear insight that would help you. Today, we're going to talk about the slow burn of success, how to cultivate patience. Now, I think it's somewhat ironic, and anybody who would know me, that I would be speaking on the subject of patience. Not so long ago, I spoke on the subject of perseverance. Now, that's more my style. That's really aligned with my personality. That's aligned with my history. Patience is something I've struggled with my whole life. Since I was a little kid, my mother used to say, "Brian, please count to 10. In the real strengths profile, I would show up as a person who's rapid. Rapid. Want to do things now. I think quickly. I talk quickly. I move quickly. To be honest with you, sometimes I get things quickly. And I can become frustrated when that pace is not the same for everyone else. In fact, it's rarely anyone else's pace. And so patience has not been a natural gift for me. But just like everything in life, that area of weakness can become actually a super area of strength if you're willing to work on it, if you're willing to grow. Now, I'm not willing to say that patience is still a strong suit of mine today, but I can tell you I've learned a lot about it. I've learned a lot about the cost of not having patience, and I can share with you that in my prayer life, in my meditation life, in my personal growth journey, it is the area that I work on the most. They say, don't ask God for patience because he'll send you problems. And I've certainly seen that. But I will share with you today that improving in this area without mastery, and some people are just naturally patient, they're gifted that way. I believe that any improvement in this area will bring tremendous dividends to your whole life. And so that's what I'm going to do. And so we call it the slow burn of success, because ultimately, as you cultivate this patience, and even the word cultivate is a methodical type word, it will change you, it will change your approach to business and life, and ultimately produce a much greater, more vivid good life for you. Patience is defined as the ability to accept delay, suffering, or annoyance without complaining. So the ability to accept delay, not my favorite thing. Suffering, I'll grind it through. Annoyance without complaining. None of those things are natural for me. They say patience is a virtue. There's an old bishop in Ireland who used to say, patience is a virtue, get it when you can. Seldom in a woman and never in a man. I don't even know if you're allowed to say such things today. But it's not common. And these days, it's even more rare. We've become a very impatient society that loves to complain. The average person complains verbally 30 times a day, and they say mentally 10 times more than that. In life, we expect instant downloads, same-day delivery, fast food in seconds. In business, we expect immediate success. In fact, we're promised it. We even buy it. We're not prepared to wait to reap the rewards. We want results at lightning speed. We want them now. But I've learned a lot about this, and I can tell you that the rewards in personal life, in your professional life, are extraordinary. So here's the 3 points I have for you today. We're going to cover the impatience trap. We're going to cover the patience payoff. And we're going to talk about how to cultivate patience. So the impatience trap. A study in the Journal of Positive Psychology identified 3 buckets that test people's patience. Daily hassles, interpersonal conflicts, and then life's hardships. So the daily hassles, right? These are the mosquito bites. They're just those, just a little ding, little tweak, and depends what part of the world you live in. I'm glad to say, and there are mosquitoes in Hawaii. Someone told me that the reason there's mosquitoes in Hawaii is to remind you it's not heaven. But I find the mosquito bites even here are better because they kind of, they get you. And anyone who's Irish, we got that sweet Irish blood. Boy, mosquitoes love us. But they get you, but it doesn't seem to stay a bump or very itchy very long. Sometimes those mosquito bites are bigger. Certain parts of the country I've been in, big mosquitoes. Certain parts of the world, I was in one country, I remember, and I said, man, these mosquitoes need a flight attendant. You know, they were so big. But so we have the daily hassles, and some of them are a small little mosquito bite, and some of them are big. Could be your flight's delayed. You ever been in an airport? Seen people line up to give the flight attendants and the ground staff a piece of their mind? It's amazing that people complain about people in the air business today. But have you ever sat back and watched how folks interact with them? No wonder they're not necessarily always the happiest and most joyful people. Traffic jams, put on hold, the customer service tree, the phone tree doesn't seem to have the answers we want. Road rage. You know, a report found that one person was fatally shot or injured in a road rage incident every 16 hours last year. That's a permanent reminder of a temporary hassle. So what happens is the patience turns to impatience, which turns to anger, which turns to rage. And all of those things are bad news. Then sometimes you get so ticked off, you've ramped up your emotions. It takes a while for that adrenaline to settle back in, and then you start questioning your thoughts, and geez, that shouldn't have happened. I let myself down. All those kinds of things. A Chinese proverb says, one moment of patience may ward off disaster. One moment of impatience may ruin a whole life. And we all see that. I pray that never happens to me, and I pray it never happens to you. But it's there, beneath the surface. The chemist and author O.A. Batista said, patience is never more important than when you are at the edge of losing it. Now, that's an inventor, a chemist. By very nature, they have to be patient. They have to take their time. The dynamic is we all suffer from this, and we all have daily hassles. And what I find is that the more out of balance I am, the more the daily hassles bug me. The more I have too much on my schedule, the more the daily hassles bug me. The more I have allowed my schedule to become unprioritized, not only do the daily hassles annoy me, they can sometimes jackknife my whole schedule. Like a major accident on the freeway. I do it to myself because something small went wrong and I just wasn't set up for it. So the first of the impatience traps is the daily hassles. The second is interpersonal conflicts. You know, one of the biggest pieces here, I'll talk as a father, is when I first got my real strengths done, and then I had my bride's real strengths done, and then I had my kids' real strengths done, it was super helpful. I was always aware that in parenting, we have a tendency to align ourselves with the kids that are most like us in personality, but also most like us in attribute. And we've covered this a lot with Rachel Yeaman on a number of our episodes. Once you understand that everybody's got a different skill set and wiring, it can allow you that empathy that then creates the patience. The downside is we give off the energy, why can't you be more like your brother? Or you're a constant disappointment to me because you're not wired like me. Now, when you think about it, it's the most egotistical, ridiculous statement in the world that we get frustrated with our kids because they're not like us. Yet all of us have a big, long list of how we wish we weren't like us. The real strengths piece is how to find common ground. You get these interpersonal conflicts. How to find common ground. When you're impatient with loved ones, it weighs heaviest on you. A recent survey found that losing patience is the biggest reason for parental guilt. And so we have to just be wise with this. Steve Maraboli, he said, what good has impatience ever brought? Is it only served as the mother of mistakes and the father of irritation? It's interesting. Beverly and I played in a golf tournament about a year ago, and it was a spouse's golf tournament. And it was a lovely time, a lot of lovely people. But one of the things I noticed was a tendency for spouses to be impatient with one another. And these were all couples that were certainly on the outside happily married, playing golf together. And golf will test your patience no more than anything will. But it was interesting that I was observing just a little bit of impatience with one another, and yet patience with their opposition or their playing partners. And so I thought, isn't it wild that we're impatient with the ones we love the most? And of course, we're impatient with ourselves the most. We can have these interpersonal conflicts, but we can also have the personal conflict with ourselves. And then the third part of the impatience trap is life's hardships itself. And again, you can have financial difficulties, business difficulties, all the setbacks that come, and we become impatient with them. Now, what I'm about to say might be the most embarrassing thing I'm ever going to admit to. That on occasion, I have drifted into a type of thinking that if I do this right and I do this right and I do this right and I do this right, I'm not going to have problems. There's no logical sense to that. And I can't say that there's anything that I have seen or witnessed that is affirming of that type of thinking. But I've had it. And it's interesting in that we often pray for a life without troubles. Well, the fact of the matter is, a life without troubles is no life at all. If you watch the football games in the NFL or soccer or any sport, if there's no opposition, it's not a sport at all. There's no entertainment to it. If there's just one team playing and they hike the ball to the quarterback and he hands the ball to the running back and he can run down the field against any opposition, who would watch that? There's no drama in it. There's no excitement in it. There's no achievement in it. There's nothing to strive for. There's no reason to push the weights and stay up late and watch film. There's no reason at all. So a life without challenges would have no purpose at all. Without any resistance, there'd be no purpose at all. And the fact of the matter is, I've found myself on occasion wishing for no problems, hoping I'd have no problems. Once I get to this place in my life, I won't have problems. Life's hardships are part of the deal. They're designed to help us. One of the most difficult verses in the Bible is in the book of James, and it says, consider it pure joy when you face trials of various kinds, knowing that these trials will have their perfect work and help you, making you complete, perfect, and lacking in nothing. Trials help us grow in patience, and patience is a wonderful thing to grow in. This last year in the marketplace was very difficult, in the real estate space specifically, but anyone connected to interest rates. The mortgage business was decimated. Sales were down over 20%. A lot of people really struggled. Now, the dirty little secret we had amongst our coaches was that many of our clients had their best year ever. And many people in our coaching program had record 2023s, but almost were afraid to say it because so many people around them were struggling. And I'll talk to you about why that worked here in a minute. There's a lot of life challenges. Like, nobody who's listening to this had anything to do with the interest rates going up or down. Nobody here had anything to do with the strength of the dollar or what's going on with the stock market or government intervention on whether availability of housing could be made by loosening up opportunities to develop land. Not a chance. So all of these things are out of our control, yet life's hardships and difficulties cause problems for us, and we become impatient. What I've witnessed is people quitting the business in droves. They become impatient. They don't have a plan. And so we know what the trap is: daily hassles, interpersonal conflicts, life's hardships. Now I want to sell you something today, boys and girls. I want to sell you on the payoff of patience. The first thing that happens is clearer thinking. Patience gives you the ability to stay calm in the middle of adversity. It helps you make better decisions personally and professionally. When you exhibit patience, you have clearer thinking. Think about it. Somebody who's mad as hell, totally frustrated, that's a reactionary person or a person who's having a reaction, you wouldn't say, oh, they're about to make a real good decision. So patience, number one payoff is clearer thinking. Clearer thinking affects everything, and it helps us to make good decisions. We want to be cool and calm when everyone around us is losing their head. Mary Pierce said, sometimes things aren't clear right away. That's where you need to be patient and persevere and see where things lead. St. Augustine said, patience is the companion of wisdom. So the bottom line is, when we lose our patience, we do dumb things. So what do? We don't want to do dumb things. I want to have clearer thinking. The second thing is better health. The payoff for patience is better health. Now, this is wildly contradictory to everything you'll see on social media these days, because everything's Insta. Insta this and Insta that. So I'm going to share with you the patience plan. If you walk a mile a day, you'll burn an extra minimum 100 calories on average for the average size person. If you walk a mile a day and everything else in your life stays the same, you'll burn 10 pounds in a year. Now, if you look at all the gym commercials and all the New Year's resolutions that were set, and you'd say, hey, will you take being 10 pounds lighter right now? Everyone says yes. But then you go, will you do it over the course of a year? Now, most people will still say yes, even though they're not really willing to do the year. But all you got to do is everything you did the same, but you just got to walk a mile a day. Like, wow. Now, I'm going to tell you that will test the patience. It would test my patience. How many times would you jump on a scale during the course of the year and go, it's not working. It's not happening. Where's my 10 pounds? Now, my guess is it would be at the beginning. It would be not the very beginning, like the first week, but the first month, maybe 6 weeks in. I'm not seeing the results. It's the same with money. You know, compound interest. Compound interest takes time. The eighth wonder of the world is what Einstein called it. It's how rich people become really rich. It's how you can transform your finances. The magic of compounding. What does it require? An investment of some sort, a rate of return, and time. That's why young people can get really, really rich if they're really, really patient. And when they're not patient, they lose it. If you can invest your money in the S&P 500 and wait 40 years, you'll be a millionaire. Okay? But it's just the 40 years part is the challenge. But definitely, we can do it with our health, many areas like that. You know, in business, for example, and what's interesting is where I'm going to talk about the Do It Now campaign. Do It Now is the opposite of patience. It's Do It Now. It's the most immediate thing you can imagine. However, it takes time for it to work. Someone who writes 5 notes a day, it's 520 notes a year. Someone who makes 520 emotional and personal impressions on the people they know by writing a personal note, it's fantastic. 5 calls a day. 5 days a week. That's 1,250 calls in a year. I'm telling you right now, I can take the average person with an average-sized database, have them write 5 notes, make 5 calls 5 days a week, and then send out the marketing items. And they'll do about 30 sales. But you know what? Many, many people, most people won't do that. They might do 5 calls once in a while. They might do 5 notes once in a while. But it's the every day, 5 days a week. You know, 48 weeks in the year. That's what it takes. It's that patience. Writer Charles Caleb Colton said, patience is the support of weakness. Impatience is the ruin of strength. Sue Bender said, when it comes to patience, we don't have to change old habits. We can build better ones. And then the improved performance becomes the third part. And I talked about the Do It Now campaign. If you work the Do It Now campaign, it will work. It's scientifically designed to go and target market sellers in this particular year, where people can send out these marketing pieces, send out the e-reports, follow up with a phone call, write a personal note. It will do the job and you will win. Period. Period. I have 37 years of experience. I built a fortune with this system, and the marketing pieces and the Do It Now kit is the best stuff I've ever seen for real estate. Better than anything I ever used in my business. But it takes time. And a great example of this is one of our first ever clients. And great friends of mine today, Sam and Edith Elsie, they live in Bear, Delaware. And they worked with a coach who was with us for over 20 years by the name of Robin McFarland. God bless Robin, retired a couple years ago, living in New Mexico. But this story happened in 1996, and it might as well be today. Sam and Edith joined our coaching program. And back in those days, you had to go to an event to get exposed to us. And they saw the system and they got trained in the system. They said, we want to coach. So they followed the system. They came to us with a database of 440 people, names, address, phone numbers, and they were doing about 13 transactions a year. They began working with Robin, and he helped them sort and qualify that database down immensely. They cut out a lot of names, a lot of phone numbers, and trimmed it up by a lot. Got down to about 52 names, 52 relationships, and then started utilizing this system, the same system the Do It Now campaign's made of. Call and writing the notes, sending out the marketing mailers, sending out the e-reports, the whole thing. Well, 8 months in, they called Robin one day to quit. They said, we're just not seeing the results. We're just not getting where we want to get to. And Robin had been, in his wisdom, as many of the coaches do, he'd been tracking their number of referrals. So that is the response to the marketing. They've been getting referrals. It took them months to get the program up and running. It took them months to get this flow going. He was counting the number of referrals. He said, the referrals are coming. You're getting dozens of referrals. It's going to come. Now, they called him to quit. You know, by the end of the year, they had gotten 308 referrals. 308 referrals. They did 72 transactions. They were going to quit. It didn't feel like success. They had been working the program. Now, they weren't monitoring all the things they needed to monitor. Thankfully, their coach was. And he kept encouraging them. And before they quit, he said, just hang in there. Stay with it. They went from 13 transactions to 72. I mean, that's an extraordinary, extraordinary result in a year. But it doesn't always feel like it. And that's why you have to stay patient. You have to stay patient. You got to stick with it. Leo Tolstoy said, the two most powerful warriors are patience and time. So what's the payoff? Clearer thinking, better health, and improved performance. Lastly, how to. How do you go about cultivating patience? Well, this has helped me a lot, which is number one, reframe your expectations. I remember I asked a guy, he's a starter at one of the golf courses I play at in San Diego, and he's been married 57 years. And my brother Dermot and I were going to go play golf one day. We said, what's the key to a long and happy marriage? And he said, lower your expectations. And we've all had a good laugh and so on and so forth. But you know what? Reframing your expectations is a good thing. And sometimes our expectations are not realistic. They're not based in experience or fact. So we just have to reframe it. Oh, this is going to take 10 minutes. You know, I tell people they're going to go do a construction project. Right off the bat, I say it's going to cost twice as much and take twice as long. And everybody looks at me and nobody believes me. Well, every major project is kind of like that. And things take longer than we planned on, and things cost more in time, energy, and treasure. And so we have to reframe our expectations. Again, another great verse. In this world, you will have trouble, but take heart, I've overcome the world. Ann Landers, a great writer, said, expect trouble as an inevitable part of life and repeat to yourself the most comforting words of all. This too shall pass. My bride has been reminding me of that for many, many years. Alfred Montepart said, expect problems and eat them for breakfast. So reframe your expectations. This might take more time. There will be setbacks. There's going to be challenges. It's not all going to go great, but I'm going to keep fighting with it. Perseverance. We did an episode on that very recently. Now we're getting to patience. You have to have the perseverance to keep going and then the patience to let it happen. You have to let it happen. The second thing I'm going to share with you is the whole mindset of get on with it. And I'm going to point out, I'm going to try not to make this too personal, but my sister Louise, my older sister, she is just someone I admire enormously. And she has this get on with it mindset like no other. And she's been through a season in life here that's been very challenging. Her husband's a few years older than her, and he had diabetes, and he lost a leg, and he had this, and he had that, and he was really struggled the last few years of his life. And she just got on with it. No matter what was happening. Now, my parents live a 2.5-3 hour drive away from where she lives. And she would pack up her husband and all the ramps and the chairs and the portable bathroom and the, you know, everything that was needed, wheelchairs and hoists and everything. Just put it in the car and get going. And just get on with it. Anytime my parents have needed anything, it's a really challenging thing to live far away from home with elderly parents. She would just get on. Okay, I'll be down in a minute. And she'd get in the car, drive 2.5-3 hours. Lashing rain, didn't matter. Just get on with it. She just gets on with it. And so I said to her the other day, I said, well, how is it you do this? And she goes, I'm going to enjoy the drive. And I listen to stuff I'm taking a course online, and it gives me a chance to learn. And I really enjoy driving now. She just has this mentality to get on with it. And that get on with it, what it does is eliminates self-pity. It eliminates overthinking. It eliminates blaming others. It just means, I'm going to get on with it. I admire her enormously. And I see this in her. And I see her kids, who are adults now, see it in her. And she's a tremendous source of inspiration because she has this get on with it mindset. Napoleon Hill said, patience, persistence, and perspiration make an unbeatable combination for success. But he starts with patience. We have to understand, you know, love, joy, peace, patience. These are the fruits of the spirit. It's a very, very powerful thing. And then the last piece of this is, how do you regulate your emotions? Well, like I said, the fruits of the spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. That means the fruit of the spirit. So how do I grow in my spiritual realm? How do I grow in my personage? How do I have, as a friend of mine says, my soul catch up to my life? To me, it's really taking a look at it from a much bigger picture. In business, how do I regulate my emotions? By focusing on the strategy, not the day-to-day results. In my personal life, how do I regulate my emotions? By focusing on my goals and my vision for myself, my family, and where I want to be. The goals are ultimately that strategy for my personal life. And so every day, you take every day as it comes. In your health, you can't turn around a life of poor health in one day, but you can have a good day that day. And what's the long-term picture? So to me, the way to regulate your emotions ultimately is to have the bigger picture, the strategy for your business, the goals for your life. And I would say the plan, but the plan is often what causes the problem with our patients because things don't always go to plan. But you can always have the vision and always have the strategy. So keep your eyes on those things. And if you do that, I think you'll find that you become slightly more patient. And then perhaps as you practice patience, like everything in life, the more we practice, the better we get at it. And then guess what? You'll find yourself being more approached by people for your wisdom, for your insight. You'll find yourself receiving more affection and care because you're demonstrating more patience. And you'll see more results and prosperity because both results in business and prosperity in finances require patience to do its work. So we talked about the trap, we talked about the payoff, and we talked about how to cultivate it. Hopefully you enjoyed this today. Hopefully it's beneficial to you. I try to put together the best stuff I can for you to help you and eat the meat and throw away the bones. With that said, I'm going to hand it to a man. I've had to demonstrate great patience with him, and he's had to demonstrate great patience with me in our working relationship over the past 21 years. Here's our executive producer, Mr. David Lally.
Love it, Brian. I've no idea what you're talking about, naturally, because patience is my number one virtue. Seriously, though, that was a great message. I'll take away a lot from it, and I hope you do too, listeners. Speaking of appreciation, I'd love to read a review from D. Naller. I hope I got that right. How do you thank someone with only words? What can these words possibly accomplish? Further, how do you convey thanks to someone with only a review that they'll likely never see? Well, there you go, D. He heard you loud and clear. Thanks for the review, and thanks to all of you for leaving a review. Keep them coming. Let us know what you like about the show and what you'd like to hear about. If you want to learn about the Do It Now campaign that Brian mentioned, head over to itsagoodlife.com and click on the image. And in the meantime, here's Trace Buffini to send us home.
May the road rise up to meet you, and may the wind always be at your back. May the rain fall soft upon your fields, and the sun shine warm upon your face. And until we meet again, may God hold you in the hollow of his hand. See you next time.